Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Procrastination. Putting it off. Kicking the can down the road. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Carpet in the bathroom? Like, why? In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Bombas presents unsolicited gifting advice. Number one, if they say not to get them anything, get them something. Two, underwear is a great gift, just not for your boss. And three, those absurdly soft Bombas socks and slippers you've been eyeing for yourself, they'll love those. And the fact that for every item you purchase, another is donated to someone who needs it, they'll love that even more.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode. And before Josh interrupts me with some Rugrats quote, I'm going to say it is an exciting episode because we have a special guest, very special, and Josh is going to introduce him this week.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have a local legend, a master in the squared circle. He is one of the best local wrestlers I have ever seen. Well, not even just local, in the world.
National.
He has been a champion across the country of the UK. He is Cambridge's favourite son, Sam Newson, a.k.a. Peter Nixon.
Welcome, Peter. What would you prefer to be called, Sam or Peter?
Well, let's play it straight. You can call me Sam. I don't mind.
Sam, yeah, because I believe you are a retired wrestler now. Is that right?
Yeah, I still do a bit of ring announcing here and there. But, yeah, I'm very much retired from the ring. That's although cool. No one ever truly retires from wrestling.
No, I guess not. Yeah.
I've seen him in that squared circle a few times after retirement.
Yeah. Well, so Sam it is, and you have your own podcast. That's one of the reasons why we invited you on today, was so that we can give you a little bit of a promo on our channel, and then hopefully one day maybe you'll give us a bit of a promo on yours. And, you know, because that's the way podcasts work, isn't it? We all share the love, we all share the passion for it, and so we thought we'd invite you on today. And this being Paranormality, we do a lot of conspiracy theories, so I thought it would be a good idea if you guys could educate me on some of these wrestling conspiracies that Josh keeps mentioning. He's rubbing his hands.
He's ready.
But
yeah, I have listened to a few episodes of Sam's podcast, Hidden Gems.
Yeah,
is it just Hidden Gems or is it Hidden Gems Wrestling? I can't remember.
Hidden Gem Hunters. Every week we pick a random wrestling pay-per-view from the past, watch it, review the matches, and maybe we'll find a lost classic here and there. That's the idea of the podcast. It's a lot of fun to do. And by the way, guys, thank you so much for having me on Paranormality.
No problem at all.
I am legit a fan, and yes, it's very exciting for me.
Oh, I know you're a fan because you're the one that said, is Pirate High, when I rated the Reptilians episode.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by Reptilians because how anyone can possibly think that that is even a possibility is just mind-blowing to me.
Sam was the one that literally I'd done the episode on reptilians because he'd mentioned it. And he asked me a few times and I thought, yeah, no, he is right. It is absolutely ridiculous. So I'm going to...
It is absolutely bats. Just to explain to you, I did explain this on another episode. I only rated it, I think it was a 6.7 or something, I think it was. I only rated it above 5 because of a different episode where we had evidence of a woman being impregnated with alien DNA. And I thought if there are reptilian aliens out there, it's quite plausible that that could happen. That's the only reason. But anyway, we're not discussing reptilians anymore. Let's do some wrestling, baby. You guys have got to educate me because I know nothing. Like, literally, last time I watched wrestling, like, you had Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, The Undertaker, you know, the old school. It was called WWF back then. That's the last time I watched wrestling. So you guys, you got a lot of coverage to give.
Cream of the crop, baby. Boo Hulk Hogan.
So I understand, yeah.
Well, I think Sam's the best one to explain. How would you go about explaining wrestling to someone who hasn't watched it for a long time or wants to possibly get back into wrestling? Or
so the main thing that I hear, I'm a pub manager by trade, and the main thing that people say to me when they come to the bar and they know I'm a wrestler or a wrestling fan, they say to me, you know, it's all fake, right? And my comeback is always, so those EastEnders. Still watch that, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, still entertainment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of panto. It's a bit legit sports because people do get hurt. I've been hurt numerous times. It's an art form in the most complex sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a beautiful one, I think, when it's done well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think wrestling is one of those things where I think a lot of people either love it or they just don't care for it.
Yeah.
It's very rare you find someone in between that just like kind of casually enjoys it. But there's a lot to wrestling, isn't there? There's the whole psychology thing as well with wrestling for me. It's like I'm just maybe speaking for myself here. But for me, wrestling, the main thing is storylines. And if things make sense and you get to a certain point, it's not so much the moves and stuff, although I'm throwing it out there. Kurt Angle's moonsault is one of the best moves of all time. But for me, it's not necessarily about the moves and what happens in the ring. It's got to tell a story.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's just me. But I think...
No, 100%. That makes total sense. The psychology is something that you can't teach and you can't just learn from going to seminars or wrestling training. It's something that you just pick up over time. And I think to be a truly great wrestler, you need to be a fan. You need to have watched it for years before actually jumping in the ring, because you learn all these nuances and not just the moves, but the things to do in between the moves and how to sell. And it's so complex. I know I've said that word already, but I think that's the easiest way to describe it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think that summed up well.
So have you got some conspiracies for me then? That's what we're all here for.
I have.
Well,
but
Sam, you go ahead.
He rubbed his hands together.
He did. He did. He's ready. He was looking forward to this one, I think.
Yeah. So with all the storylines and the psychology that we've all talked about already, a lot of wrestlers take themselves very seriously. A lot of wrestlers don't like to lose or don't like to be made to look weak. We know it's a work. We know that...
I know a wrestler personally that doesn't like to lose.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to say any more just now, but yeah, I definitely know a wrestler personally that doesn't like to lose. I had to spend £130 on a belt to give him last time he was on this podcast.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, no hints on to who that is. Oh, right. Yes.
Well, it's about okay, Sam. Well,
I think I might have a clue. Okay. Well, the story I want to start off with is... summed up with three words, the Montreal Screwjob. That's four words. a lot of people listening to this podcast will already know what I'm talking about, but, you know, very, very quickly. I don't know, Josh, do you want to go through the facts?
Oh, if you want, I'll give you the brief statement on what I know, and then you can fill in the gaps if I'm
wrong. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So
I know you're the facts guy.
Right. So I'm right in thinking, so we're talking late 80s, I believe.
The Montreal Screwjob was 1997.
Oh, no, it's late 90s then.
Oh, it was a good job we put Josh on the facts, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, I tell you what, I'm thinking of the other conspiracy that's in my mind, which is 83. So I've saved myself there. Right.
Sorry.
So, yeah. 1997. Bret Hart, the Canadian treasure that is Bret Hart, was champion. WWF at the time, was it? Or was it WWE at the time? He was the current champion, and he'd been there a long time, and he had a genuine feud with Shawn Michaels, who was good friends with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon owns WWE.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him, yeah.
And if I'm correct on this, Bret Hart had already signed a contract or was going to go to the rival company of WCW. And he obviously was the current champion, and he refused to lose to Shawn Michaels, and especially in Canada, in his home country.
Right, yeah.
So Vince came up with a plan in a way, but there's also conspiracies as to who also came up with the plan to screw Bret out of the title, because he was going to the rival company. So they needed to get the belt off of him, obviously, because he was going. And am I right in thinking, my facts could be wrong here, but also, am I right in thinking that the reason Vince could have been also worried about it was because Alundra Blaze had already put the women's championship in the dustbin? Or is that after?
No, that happened the year prior. Alundra Blaze turned up in WCW as her previous character, Medusa, while she was the WWF Women's Champion. She held the belt up in front of the camera and dropped it in the bin to signify that, you know, I'm here now, that is behind me, I'm now in WCW, and this is where, you know, I intend to continue my career. So the Montreal Screwjob, it all happened somewhat unnecessarily. A lot of people don't really know this, but Eric Bischoff talked about it on his podcast, 83 Weeks. He couldn't have done anything. If Bret Hart, the WWF champion, had have gone to WCW as the WWF champion and held the belt up and threw it in the bin or whatever, they would have been sued for millions.
Right. So, okay, yeah.
It was not a possibility that Bret could have taken the belt elsewhere. Mm. So all of this happened. The story we're about to get into was totally unnecessary.
It's all politics at the end of the day, isn't it, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. That makes sense.
Mm.
Okay. So do you want to bring in some details then, Sam?
Yeah. So Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, like Josh said, had a real rivalry. They did not like each other, but they were involved in a kayfabe rivalry on television. So the logic would be Bret loses the championship to Shawn on the way out of the company. So to put over Shawn as the next top guy, moving on, and eventually we get to Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Attitude Era from there.
Yeah.
But Bret, it was in Montreal. Bret is a Canadian hero, and Bret didn't want to do it. Bret felt he needed to look strong in Canada, and he didn't want to particularly, specifically, put over Shawn Michaels on the way out. So Bret came to Vince with a different idea. They were going to do a nonsense finish where people ran in, interference here and there, disqualification. And then the next night on TV, Bret would vacate the championship and ride off into the sunset.
Okay, yeah.
But Vince didn't want to do that. Vince wanted to put Shawn over and, you know, not risk Rhett going to WCW as the world champion and not keeping his word. So they came up with a plan. From what I understand, it was Vince, Shawn Michaels, and Gerald Briscoe, maybe? Where they, if they could get into a position where Shawn had the sharpshooter, which is Brett's finishing move, Shawn had the sharpshooter on Brett, they would signal the referee to ring the bell, end the match prematurely, without Brett's knowledge. Therefore, Shawn would be the champion, and the job was done.
Okay. That's kind of dirty, isn't it?
To use his own move as well is
yeah,
a bit disrespectful.
Very disrespectful, I would say.
Yes.
And that this was Vince McMahon's idea, was it?
Yeah, I think the idea had been put around, and then they decided on the actual move they would do that night in a hotel room or something.
Yeah. When I looked it up, Sam, sorry to cut you off, buddy. When I looked it up as well, it said that there's like four people that all claim that it's their idea. So I read that Shawn Michaels in his book said that it was his idea and he approached Vince. I read Vince Russo was another guy that claims that it was his idea.
Right.
And he was he was working for WCW. He was a big WCW guy, wasn't he, Vince Russo? And then I think Gerald Briscoe was one of them. And then Jim Cornette was the fourth one. So they all claim that it was their idea. So I don't know who came up with it, but that's what I read anyway. Four people trying to claim it was theirs.
Okay. It's also been said that Paul Heyman knew what was going down that night. Paul telling people backstage, you've got to watch Survivor Series tonight. S word is going down.
That's something he would say.
So this Brett guy, he was kind of in a bit of a chokehold either way, really, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There's no way he could carry on that title through to the new, like the WCW. Vince McMahon had got that grip on it.
Bypassed the mainframe.
Oh my God.
The server. It's true as well on the Paranormality UK podcast. I hacked you guys. How
did you get past my NordVPN?
I hacked it. I'm a hacker now. How dare you have a wrestling conspiracy podcast episode without Truman Roswell? How dare you? First you did 9/11 without me, and you completely were one-sided on that. I have so many theories on that. And now this. Let me ask you a question, Josh and Pirate. Is this a joke to you?
No, of course it is. I told you. It cost me 130 quid, that belt did.
This is the most prestigious prize in all of podcasts. And
that is true.
Leave me out in the dark.
Well, I guess you now have a competitor for that belt because Sam's here to try and win it off you.
Sam?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you know him as Peter Nixon.
Yeah.
Peter Nixon, if that is your real name. If you ever want to challenge me for the Paranormality Championship, you know where I am. But invite me next time.
To be fair, we could have.
We could have done that.
We could have invited him. Sorry, Truman.
We do apologize. Well, Josh apologizes.
Sorry, mate.
How does one compete for this championship?
I mean, that's a good question.
Got to come up with the best story.
Mm. Yeah.
Or, I mean, if you want to come out of retirement, you could actually, you know, do your thing in the ring and compete for it, you know, the traditional way. But, you know, a good story will do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Truman's kind of hard to beat.
I had to watch two entire documentaries to get this. I earned this.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. That is fair. Well, how do you feel about the Montreal screw job then, Truman?
Work.
A work? What do you mean?
Absolute work. If you think about it, who gained from it? Everybody gained from it. Shawn Michaels went on to be the champion. Vince McMahon based his entire character for the rest of his career off it. And then Bret Hart himself did go on to WCW, didn't do anything in WCW, but he didn't think he wouldn't do anything in WCW. He thought he was going to be the man there. But he, at the time, if you remember, was recording a documentary called Wrestling in the Shadows, and it needed a big twist at the end. That was the big twist at the end for his documentary.
Oh,
I mean,
this is getting juicy.
I've not heard that take before. Sam, how do you feel about that take on it being a work?
Yeah,
I was aware of Wrestling with Shadows. It's a great documentary, and it's still available on DVD if you want to go check that out. It makes a lot of sense that this would all be a work, because Brett got, at that time, the most lucrative wrestling contract ever, $3 million a year for 3 years.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vince was...
This was in 1997?
Yes.
That's a big contract.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vince wanted Brett gone anyway to save on his contract money, so they could, you know, invest in other things. And WWF was under a bit of strain at that time. They weren't making enough money, so that's why they were cutting Brett anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Vince, like Truman said, Vince went on to be this despicable character. In kayfabe, Shawn became the champion, and you know, WWF went on to prominence with the Attitude Era. Brett, you know, he didn't really do anything in WCW, but you know, money talks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And yeah, the documentary is all very convenient, but like I was saying, wrestlers take themselves seriously. And it's very believable to me that Brett wouldn't want to do the job in Montreal to Shawn Michaels. And, you know, there have been screw jobs over the years in wrestling, things that aren't necessarily talked about as much as this one, but it has happened before. So I do not think it's a work. I think it's a total shoot.
Oh, Truman, do you want to counter that?
No, I think I've said everything I need to say.
he's not impressed.
but the thing that they do say is they had the hard cam, which they absolutely have control over in the live edit, where Bret Hart does the words WCW to the camera. They keep it on camera the entire way through. They don't cut away from it if they were trying to cover it up. So why did they do that?
That's a good point.
Ooh.
They didn't actually do that.
Oh!
What
is going on? This
so
is like a wrestling
match. If you watch the live pay-per-view edit, it never shows Brett in the ring after he spits on Vince. It follows Shawn backstage, pans up to the Survivor Series logo, they go off the air. But in the VHS release, you know, unseen footage, etc., that's when they show Brett WCW. It was never shown on the pay-per-view footage.
Okay, so it was extra bonus footage.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a juicy conspiracy.
This is. I didn't think I was going to be as interested in this as I am.
Yeah. For someone who doesn't like or know wrestling, like...
Yeah, it's interesting.
This is quite juicy. Yeah. I didn't know these details either.
Why we got the experts on.
Well, I've got a question. Was the referee was Earl Hebner, wasn't it, at the time? Was he aware of what was happening?
From what I understand, he was not aware until just before he went out for the main event. He was told what to do. But he gave Brett his word earlier in that day that there would be no funny business.
Oh, so he stuck a knife in Brett as well.
It's pretty despicable, isn't it?
All he was doing was protecting his job and doing what he was told by the boss.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose you do, don't you?
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No, don't. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or dsw.com.
And I've heard rumors of, well, I don't know if it's a rumor, I don't know if it's true, but Bret Hart, supposedly the first thing he did when he went backstage was punch Vince in the face.
I can see Truman nodding.
Well, allegedly. It's not on camera. And did he have a bruise on his face the next week on Raw? In fact, the next day on Raw, wasn't it, Sam?
Oh. He had a bruise like the moment after Bret hit him. So this is another reason why people think it was a work. Ooh. Because that black eye came up very quickly.
Okay, so it could have been makeup then.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm liking this version of Peter Nixon, because he's not taking sides. He's actually kind of saying what he thinks, but then also supporting Truman's theory as well, as to being a work. He's given us facts from both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Well, let me be frank. I am not sitting on the fence here. I firmly believe it's a shoot, but there are reasons why I could believe it's a work.
Ah, I see. Okay, so there is evidence there.
Yeah.
For both.
Fair enough. Oh, we're going to have to put it to the paranormality scale then, I guess.
Yeah, what would you rate that one? Because I've got another conspiracy to go into. So what would you rate that one? In fact, I think only you should rate these, because we all know the stories.
As a conspiracy, that's the thing. I'm so torn with it. I don't know which way to go. But entertaining wise, and the way it pulls you in, I'll give that an 8.7.
That's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Everybody approve of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Cool. Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
All right, so that's number one down then. So you got another one.
I have, yeah. Are you guys familiar with a wrestler called Jimmy Snuka? Superfly.
Yeah.
He used to wrestle with no shoes on. Is that right?
Yeah, he certainly did.
That's what I remember.
That's not his worst crime, though.
No.
Oh, now you're getting me interested.
Actually, yeah. Truman, do you know about the Jimmy Snuka conspiracy?
I do. I know about it. I know there's a part two that I know about that not many people know about.
Oh, can I say part one and then you go into your part two?
Yes, part two does go off the rails a little bit, because it's actually about Shane McMahon.
Oh, right. Let's get into that. Right.
Quickly fly through part one.
For those who don't know, Jimmy Snuka had a girlfriend in 1983 called Nancy Valencio, something like that. And
Argentino,
that's the one. I was so close. I probably should
not
have,
really.
I should have done, more memory exercises before the pod.
You should have got your brain training out, shouldn't you?
The year was right, though, wasn't it? 1983. And
yes, she's confirmed, yeah.
She was found dead due to blunt force trauma to the head.
Oh, okay.
And he was arrested, or it was a cold case for like 30 years. And then he was arrested for homicide, third degree murder. And it went to trial in 2015. And then he got acquitted of it in 2017, 2 years later.
Oh, right.
But all the evidence and everything suggests that it was him that did it.
Okay.
But there's also little bits of conspiracy in there where people think that Vince knew about it and basically hid evidence from the authorities and things to protect one of his biggest stars at the time, which was Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah.
But that's all I really know about Jimmy Snuka, because I want to know about Truman's part two theory.
Oh, part two. So the allegation is that grown man Shane McMahon, son of Vince McMahon, is unaware that professional wrestling is a work.
Right.
And the reason why Tamina Snuka is still hired 14 years into her contract and has not done anything of substance in professional wrestling is because she and her alone is the only person who knows that that Shane McMahon doesn't know. She heard it in a phone call.
What?
That's what I've heard. So I'm telling it terribly, but that's what I've heard.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. So let's break that down. So Tamina Snuka is what, the daughter of Jimmy Snuka?
Yes.
She knows?
She knows. She knows that Shane McMahon doesn't know that wrestling is a work. She is the only person who knows, and that's why she's still hired 14 years later. She's using it as blackmail.
Right, okay.
It all goes on in wrestling, doesn't it?
Yeah. The thing is, I get the lingo. I know what he's talking about, so it makes sense to me. I mean, Shane McMahon isn't exactly a great wrestler, is he?
Nope.
I mean, he does a few high spots, and he does some cool things, but I mean, that's about it. He doesn't actually wrestle, does he, really?
And he shoot punches people in the face.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? And his knees as well. He uses his knees quite a lot.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, is he like over-aggressive with his wrestling then? Is he? Very much so, yeah. Mm. He literally doesn't realise that, you know, it's a performance. And he actually thinks, oh, I'm going to go in there and give some haymakers and actually try and win this aggressively.
In some way, yeah. Yeah, he's very careless, isn't he? I'd say.
Yes.
His punches and stuff.
Have you got anything to bring to this, Sam?
This sounds bizarre. Shane McMahon had his first match in like 98, 99. And you're telling me he still doesn't know it's a work.
That is what I'm saying.
No. You're yanking my chain here, Truman.
Nope, and Vince McMahon just doesn't have it in him to tell him.
But Shane's worked dozens of matches.
And he thought he won them. He thought they were real. When Kane hooked up to his testicles, he thought he survived that, legitimately.
But you're telling me those two times he jumped off the Hell in a Cell trying to elbow drop Undertaker and Kevin Owens... He was actually trying to drop an elbow on Undertaker and Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Risking his life.
Literally. This is what I've heard. From a very reliable source.
Well, I don't know many other conspiracies. I mean, I was going to mention a certain name that it's going to divide people. Well, not really, because people don't like him anymore. But... I just want to throw it out there that there is a conspiracy that Chris Benoit didn't do the things he did and someone else killed him. But we're not going to go into that because I think it's a load of rubbish. And
is this one that's going to get us in trouble if we cover
If
it?
We go into it, it will get us in trouble.
Okay, let's stay away from that one then.
But it's just worth mentioning that there's some weird people out there that think there's a whole massive conspiracy behind it. But there isn't. There's a couple of other wrestling conspiracies. The only one that I think might have credence to it, and I don't know if you guys will agree, Vince McMahon owned ECW.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Paul Heyman. Vince McMahon owned it.
Yep, I believe that.
I'm throwing it out there.
Yes. I believe that he used ECW as a test audience to test out the Attitude Era style wrestling and style of presentation before he put it into WWE.
Fair enough.
That's a very good take.
Sam, go
ahead. That's interesting. I don't think he owned it, but he was definitely funding it. He kept it in business, but I don't think he actually owned it.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Like, so are Vince and Paul like actually friends and stuff? In like they're boys. Like, do you think?
I think they've got a massive mutual respect. I don't know if they're boys.
Right. Okay. So at the time, do you think Vince was genuinely like interested in helping Paul Heyman and helping ECW succeed in a way?
100%. I think it's even been admitted by Vince and proven that Vince was, anytime ECW was in financial trouble, Vince would bail them out.
Hmm.
So ECW would survive. And like Truman said, it would be a test audience for other ideas.
Oh, like, that makes a lot of sense business-wise. It does make sense.
I've got an example. That famous footage of Taz and Bam Bam Bigelow when Bigelow threw Taz backwards and they went through the ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
A year and a half later, Big Show chokeslammed Undertaker through the ring. Mm. So it's very comparable.
Ah, similarities. Ooh, okay. There. Mm. Well, yeah. I'm all out of wrestling conspiracies, guys. That's all I've got.
That's it. That's yourself a fan?
Yeah.
There's some other little ones in there, but I just don't think there's any evidence or anything to back them up, and it's all, like, a bit weird. So,
okay.
I mean, I don't think we should talk about it either, but the current Vince McMahon situation is rather juicy, so people can look that up themselves. There's
Yeah, even I've heard of that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Dirty, dirty boy.
Yes. I don't know if there's much of a conspiracy there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's no dispute in it, is there?
Yeah, allegedly it happened, and allegedly it's going to court, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anybody else got any small conspiracies that we can cover before we finish?
Oh, dude, so many. are you guys, of course you are, it's a big film at the moment. The Iron Claw, the movie about the Von Erichs just come out.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's about the Von Erich curse, as you might know if you've seen it, which is that all of Von Erich's sons will die. Their dad, I forget what dad's called. But he got the name Von Erich because when he was a wrestler, he took on the persona of a Nazi. The rumor is, and I'm not sure if this is in the movie, I can't remember the scene, but the rumor is that he was cursed by the ghost of a Holocaust survivor, and that's what the curse actually is. And that is himself who has come out and said that.
Oh.
I can't remember if they included that in the movie, but that is genuinely what the curse is referring to.
Yeah, and for people that don't know, that's the family, the Von Erichs. Like, is it all of the sons or most of the sons have all died in mysterious ways?
I think it was five out of six. In the movie, they take one out for some reason. Mm. But five of six of his sons died for various reasons. I won't spoil the movie. It's very sad. But, yeah, apparently that's the beginning of the curse was because of that, because of his Nazi gimmick.
Wow. I think that's the best way end a wrestling conspiracy podcast, to be honest.
I was not expecting that one.
Nazi ghosts. I don't think we're going to top it, to be honest.
Sam, have you got anything that can compete against that?
I got nothing that can compete against Nazi ghost curses.
Truman, you get to keep your belt.
Ah, oh, yes. There it is, guys.
Wow.
Sorry, Sam.
Oh. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming on and making this a fantastic episode.
Yes, thank you for hacking my computer, Truman. That's really appreciated. I will be looking into it.
Mm.
No problem. Yeah.
And
pointing out some obvious shortcomings to my software, right? Yeah. Just helping the cause, really.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for both coming on. And you are both absolutely amazing in the ring, great at what you do. Two of the best wrestlers in the UK.
Oh, what would you rate them on the paranormality scale?
Wow, okay. I mean...
We might as well go into it.
Right, maybe. I'm going to keep it brief. I'm a little bit biased because me and Sam have been friends for a few years now, and right. I've been to a lot more matches of his than Truman's, and he's always got a special place in my heart.
Aww.
So for me, Sam is a 9.9 wrestler because
pretty big score.
No one ever gets a 10. No one ever gets a 10. But yeah, he got me back into wrestling and stuff, and like it's a real honor to be his friend after all these years and see him in the ring and get me into it again. Truman, I feel like we've just started the journey of Truman's career, and I've been there from the kind of start of his, well, not the very start, but you know, the last year or so, and we've watched Truman develop from this amazing wrestler. But also, shout out to Truman because his first match, he was booked as the villain in the situation.
Oh, the bad guy.
The bad guy.
Oh, okay.
And we were sat front row, and he came out, and he had such a presence where we got it straight away. Like from the music to the way he was walking down to the ring to what he was doing, we instantly looked at him and thought, that guy has the X factor.
Right.
And we sat there singing a song saying, Truman, give us a wave. Truman, Truman, give us a wave. And he ignored us for about 10 minutes. And then randomly, before he kicked another guy in the face, he just turned to us in the middle of a match and then waved at us. And from that moment, we thought, that's our guy. Yeah. So where Sam has retired, we've now...
Oh, you've shifted your attention.
We've shifted to Truman.
So it's not... Is it fair to put them up against each other like that then?
No, it's not. They were both 9.9 for
both me. Both 9.9. Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty high score.
Yeah, but they're both fantastic at what they do.
I don't get to rate because I've never seen either of you live. So we'll just go with that. 9.9 for our fantastic wrestlers.
Mm.
One of which was invited.
Yes.
And
the other one that hacks the computers. But support your local wrestling scene, that's what I say.
And your local conspiracy theorist, remember
yes.
that?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So if you're a wrestler, join in, tune in.
Yeah, send us some conspiracy theories. We might do another one of these. I doubt we'll do another one of these episodes, but we might.
Mm. Nah, this is a once-in-a-lifetime episode, I think.
I think it's been a good one. I've enjoyed it. I've learned a lot. Mm. Thank you, Sam, for coming on with all of your vast knowledge and expertise. Thank you, Truman, for once again hacking my computer and bringing your vast knowledge and expertise along. And it's been quite fun watching you two have a little match.
Debate, yeah.
A little debate about things.
Yeah.
And I hope that everybody at home is going to enjoy it as much as I have. Mm. Call to action this week is to go and check out Sam's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called again, Sam?
Hidden Gem Hunters. Myself and Alec Burnett review old school wrestling and try and find those little lost classics.
So there you go. If you're a wrestling fan, that's probably why you're here listening to this episode of ours today. Go and check out Sam's podcast. And until next time, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Yeah, you got people don't hear a wave.
You got to say ta-ta.
Oh, ta-ta.
Ta-ta-ta-ta.
Bombas presents unsolicited gifting advice. Number one, if they say not to get them anything, get them something. Two, underwear is a great gift, just not for your boss. And three, those absurdly soft Bombas socks and slippers you've been eyeing for yourself, they'll love those. And the fact that for every item you purchase, another is donated to someone who needs it, they'll love that even more.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.